Welcome back, my friend. Chef and the Fat Man live at Cutter Cigar Emporium on this beautiful Saturday. Unfortunately, the wind has died down to a paltry 10 miles an hour, as opposed to 17 to 20 that's been blowing through here every day this week. And Chef Eric, you've got some great recipes, as always, but this is where you showcase. So take it away, El Jefe.
Well, so what I'm doing is decided to make some tortillas. We're going to do some tacos. We'll do a chicken chili taco.
But not just ordinary chili chicken taco. This is going to be, what are you going to do to foof it up?
Well, there's going to be chili, there's going to be chicken, and there'll be some sauteed chicharrones in it as well.
Of course.
Which are the pork skins with the meat on it. So it's kind of pig and pork taco.
Oh, wow.
Or pig and pollo taco, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll make those as a taco. We're going to make, Lou requested some risotto, so we're going to do a lemon arugula risotto with sauteed shrimp. And then,
so Lou asked for some. I've asked for things many times.
Yeah, no, I don't really care what you asked for.
Lou asked for it, and you get it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Kyle had asked for stuff as well, and Kenny did as well, so I was trying to get what they wanted as well.
Really?
We're not having foie gras. finding foie gras was not going to happen. But,
yeah.
I do have a source for it, but I...
Do you really?
Yeah.
Why am I not surprised?
Well, no, it's... No, what you do is you chum up with one of your good chef friends that has a restaurant and has the Mike
QF. That's right, yeah.
And they're awesome. It's awesome.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Foie gras.
They're already portioned out, too, which is nice, because I hate...
Portioning
foie gras.
Well, such a pain. Such a tedious job.
So what we're starting here is with the tortillas themselves for the tacos. And really, these are... I'm not making them too elastic. They're going to sit at the bottom of the taco. It'll probably break apart. That's part of the fun of the homemade taco. I could add some shortening to it, and I could really work the glutens more in order to get it thinner.
And more pliable.
And more pliable, but I kind of like this style of it.
Plus, it's more flavorful, I think, when you do it.
I think there's more flavor. I think you taste the corn. You taste the masa. So what I did is I took 2 cups, roughly, of Maseca masa, instant masa, which is, it already has a few ingredients in it. And then you just add to the 2 cups, you add 1.5 cups of water and about a tablespoon of salt or less, depending on your preference.
And
I like to put some good salt in there. Good salt, not the cheap stuff. At minimum, you want to use like a kosher salt or something like that.
Are you a Sam's Club member? Or Costco?
I'm a Costco member, but I don't really go.
Well, Sam's Club they opened a brand new one in Woodstock, and I asked him, I said, have you ever seen the Himalayan pink sea salt already ground in a larger container? And they said, no. Well, I requested it back in November, and of course, last week I went through, and there it is. It's a 3-pound container of pink Himalayan sea salt already ground beautifully. For $9.69.
Wow. Well, next time you go,
I'll get you one.
Of those.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm getting one for the camp.
That's a great deal. That's fantastic.
But anyway, for those of you, pink Himalayan sea salt is the best. I love it.
It's the best. It's also good for you. It's not.
That's why I eat it.
Yeah, because you're a pillar of
this Adonis-like physique was not gained through eating conventional blue-collar food.
That is absolutely true.
Yes, Markel. A very, very dry one.
It's a mined salt.
Mined. Wiseacre.
Yeah, so actually that's one of the biggest differences between sea salts and some of the other salts. Mined salt is good for you. They tend to have a lot of trace minerals in them. Many of the minerals you can't normally get through our food supply. And they also, they break down a little bit different in your body, so it's not just pure sodium. Sea salt and kosher salt and all those, they really do actually just break down into sodium, very high sodium levels. You can have a sodium issue and use pink Himalayan salt and not be affected within reason. It's also very very good to use if you get headaches, like migraines or anything like that. Take a pinch of pink Himalayan sea salt, stick it under your tongue, and within 30 seconds it'll be gone.
Ooh, I got a better solution.
What's that?
Rim your margarita glass in pink sea salt, and then a couple of belts of those, migraine. What migraine? So you can listen to Dr. Holdo or you can listen to Dr. Fatman.
Yeah, because there's nothing you want more when you got a migraine than a margarita.
I don't know. Never had one.
Exactly. So anyway, so that's the difference, and it's really worth the difference to get the pink Himalayan sea salt. Or if you really can't find it where you are, then get something like real salt. Real salt is sold at Whole Foods. They also sell pink Himalayan. But the real salt is also mined salt out of Utah. Same thing, though. It has the trace minerals. And you'll typically be able to see the trace mineral salt because it's got a pink color to it, usually. And you'll see specks of mineral.
Now, also you can say, though, on the same thing on salt, there's a lot of sea salts out there, but if you get the sea salts that are done produced production-wise instead of naturally, where they just lay out sheets and they let it dry and then they scrape it off and there you go. If you do that, it tends to be a much better sea salt than a sea salt that's not. And it'll say on there, naturally bleached by the sun or something along. That's the best.
Otherwise you're using harsh chemicals to bleach it.
Yeah, so that's the best. Yeah, so you go for the naturally sun bleach, but the best is the Himalayan pink or the...
And the little girl with the umbrella?
Hey!
Never.
Hey,
never.
Listen. You know, the way you dis...
Worst salt for you. That will increase your blood pressure. That'll mess you up. So, anyway. So what we do when we mix the masa, again, 2 cups of the masa flour with 1.5 cups of water and some salt, pink Himalayan, real salt, whatever you want, sea salt, and mix those together with one hand, allowing yourself your other dry hand in order to add a little bit more masa if you need to.
And how many people don't make that mistake? They get their both hands in there and then they're reaching.
Like, you got the claw, you know, half of your dough is gone because you got to wash it off. Once you do that, you'll get it to a point where it starts being, you're sort of folding it over. I eventually dump it out onto the cutting board and just knead it a little bit, and you'll start to feel it coming together where when you roll it, anything that's on the cutting board rolls up with it. So it's kind of that same stage you want to get to with a typical bread dough or pizza dough or something like that, where you're building the glutens a little bit. That'll give you a little bit of additional flexibility in the tortilla as well. So you mix it up in your hand, pull off a little piece, and you want to create about the size of a golf ball, a little bit smaller, and then you take a tortilla press. And these tortilla presses are available at every single Latin market, carniceria out in the world.
And they're not expensive.
Get a metal one. Don't get one of the plastic ones. Get a metal one. They're like $8. And you line the top with some saran wrap, line the bottom with saran wrap. Don't lay one piece. Trust me, it'll be easier. And once you do that, sprinkle a little bit of the masa on the top and the bottom, sort of swish it around. And we call the first tortilla the pancake, because what happens with the first pancake that you make?
It gets eaten.
Typically. Well, it typically falls apart a little bit. Yeah. It's the one that's not quite the perfect one. And then after that, you can see that these are all pretty much the exact same size. So, and the way you do that is when you create that golf ball size, put it in the middle, fold over the top, take the little bar and press it gently. Don't smash it all the way down. Press it gently. Lift up. Make sure you've got good separation between the tortilla and at least one side of the saran wrap. Put it back down gently, and then smash it just a little bit more. And then you'll be at that point where... where it's ready to go on a kamal.
Now, earlier on you mentioned instant masa.
Instant, yeah.
Now, you would never use instant grits.
No, but instant masa, the only difference with instant masa is that it's got some of like the baking powder in it.
Okay, so that's not a bad instant
to
use.
No. It's not highly processed. It's basically the same stuff. It just saves you a couple steps. And most people, most restaurants, everything else, even when they're hand-making tortillas, they're still going to be
using. It took you about, 10 minutes to actually make the dough?
Yeah, and you want to cover it. If you're not going to be serving it right away, cover it with a wet towel, or if you're making a lot of it. I'm making enough for about 8 to 9 tortillas, and so I don't really need to worry about that too much. But you'll notice as it dries a little bit, it's better. It stays very, very non-sticky at that point. So here I'm going to put this one on here, smash it part way, make sure it's separating.
So if you've had a rough day at work,
push down again.
It's been a rough week, make tortillas.
Well, you know, one day I was sitting at home and I'm like, God, I really want to have like some tacos tonight or something like that. And I had some flank steak and I'm like, okay, I'll just make tortillas. I'm like, why don't I do this all the time? It's really not hard to do. And the quality of the tortilla, I think, is better.
They're beautiful. They look better than the ones in the back.
Well, and they taste better. They're thicker. They're warm. They've got some nice salt to them.
And you have a history of having this as a child growing up.
Are we going to talk about that later?
We're going to talk about that next segment. Okay. Who do you think spent all the time in the kitchen making the tortillas, if you think it was Chef Eric as a young boy or his mom and dad? No. We'll let you, through the break, think, gee, who else could have made it for him? When we return, we'll find out. Chef and Fat Man live at Cutter's Cigar Emporium, celebrating National Picnic Day, or Picnic, National Cherry Cheesecake, and, of course, St. George's Day, Patron Saint.